Self-identified evangelical Christians comprise a powerful bloc in conservative politics in this country and have determined the shape of our culture in many other ways as well. And in-depth analysis of the group has just appeared in the form of a new book titled The Evangelicals, The Struggle to Shape America. And I am so happy to welcome the author, Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Francis Fitzgerald, to State of Belief Radio. Francis, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gowdy, for having me.
There are so many different ways to circumscribe this group, so I'd like to start by asking for your definition of American evangelicals.
My definition is the religious one. It's David Bebbington's, essentially, which means biblicism and a focus on Christ's death on the cross, mm-hmm. and focus on being born again and spiritually renewed, mm-hmm. and on evangelizing others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to how closely you align evangelical Christians with conservative Christians.
I think they would be pretty close right now. I mean, not all conservative Christians are evangelicals. Mm-hmm. I imagine that the Calvinist groups are not as keen on evangelizing as other groups, the more Arminian groups.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, there's an enormous variety of evangelicals, as you know, mm-hmm. Enormous variety of denominations, each with their own distinctive beliefs, but the sort of basics of the faith is what draws them together.
Would you talk about the approach that you took in looking at the history of the evangelical movement through the lens of its impact on our nation?
Well, it's more or less of a political history. I think if you look at its cultural impact, it's probably more subtle than I'm giving it credit for in this book, but you can only have such a book of certain length. But what interests me is how much evangelicals have changed over the years, and I think they're still changing. For example, you know, just after the Great Awakenings, evangelicals were the great reformers, especially in the North. Mm-hmm. They began everything from reforming the criminal justice system to making homes for the indigent and for immigrants, and they started common schools or the public school system. Mm-hmm. And most of the Northerners were abolitionists.
Mm-hmm. Why did you want to do this particular book?
Well, actually, I've been writing about evangelicals as a journalist, mm-hmm. mostly for The New Yorker, mm-hmm. for nearly 35 years. Mm-hmm. I ran into Jerry Falwell, or rather his church, almost by accident in 1980. And I became totally fascinated. I'm a New Yorker, mm-hmm. With an Episcopalian background, mm-hmm. and I had never, at least to my knowledge, met a fundamentalist before.
Yeah.
And so I did what was kind of almost a sociology of Falwell's community at mm-hmm. the time. It wasn't so political. But then I would drop the subject and come mm-hmm. back to it. And recently, that's to say within this century, mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot more of it for The New Yorker. So
yeah.
I finally thought that, there's really no way to understand particularly the Christian right without mm-hmm. understanding the history.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I found myself having to do that in every article, mm-hmm. and I'd rather do the whole thing. I wanted to find out for myself.
It's really ironic when I ask you about how you define them, and you gave the doctrinal part and then talked about the political significance. As you know, Jerry Falwell wouldn't join the Southern Baptist Convention for a long, long time, not until the fundamentalist takeover occurred, though he would consider himself a strident evangelical.
Oh, yes. But, I mean, fundamentalists is a sub-species of evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just as Lutheran, you know, the Missouri Lutheran Church is a subgroup right. of evangelicals, so, right. so too are fundamentalists.
Yeah. Evangelicals have been in the news so much, and honestly more related to politics than to religion. How do you relate the evangelical tradition to the so-called religious right?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that it comes fairly directly from the fundamentalist view of the world, which is fury at the outsiders, at the elites, at the secularists, mm-hmm. at all the changes that they have made when they started sort of running the country, all the Supreme Court decisions that have gone against the traditional ways of interpreting the Constitution. And Falwell made it clear what he was against,
mm-hmm.
not so much what he was for, but certainly what he was against. And he created the bond with Ronald Reagan
mm-hmm.
because he supported Reagan in things that had really nothing to do with religion that much.
Right.
For example, he criticized the freeze movement, protests against nuclear rearmament, which was happening during the Reagan administration. And other evangelicals didn't sort of bother to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it was he that sort of created the bond between evangelicals and the Republican Party, because the Republican Party began to more and more to depend on evangelicals, particularly for their votes.
Mm-hmm.
So they became closer and closer as time went on.
I have somewhat defended the evangelicals when I talk with people by saying that there is a diversity among these people that you find elsewhere. Did you find that to be true, or do you see them somewhat monolithic?
No, there's an enormous diversity.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just that I was looking for it either. I would sometimes just find it. I spent some time in Columbus, Ohio, mm-hmm. where there are many evangelical churches, and not one of them is alike. And mm-hmm. there's one very liberal church with a liberal pastor,
mm-hmm.
and there's at least one that's very, very conservative.
Uh-huh.
And Pentecostal and against immigrants and against all forms of sort of novelties.
Yes, yes. In doing your research, what surprised you?
Well, I guess I'm surprised by how much change went on very quickly in around 2005, almost mm-hmm. exactly, when some very influential evangelicals, including megachurch pastors like Rick Warren and the heads of international aid agencies and professors and so forth and so on, began to distance themselves from George Bush at the time, but the Republican Party generally, part because they didn't want their religious aspect, the fact they're evangelicals, to be seen simply as, you know, a branch of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And in part because they simply felt that the Christian right agenda, which was essentially sort of below the belt issues at the time, was too narrow. They were more interested in social justice issues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them objected to things like American torture of prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Others to lack of focus on global poverty and mm-hmm. on global warming.
Yeah. Over the last year, because of where most of the evangelical community was in the election and their support of Donald Trump, they took a lot of hits of being hypocritical, of being dishonest in terms of staying with the evangelical tradition because of his distance from religion and confusion about religion. How do you speak to people about that part of evangelicalism?
Well, I think that things are changing, that politically anyway, that evangelicals have gradually gotten used to the fact that the person they're going to vote for is not who they would, you know, mm-hmm. choose to have dinner with or
right.
or look up to entirely, but they're somebody who's going to get something done for them.
Yes.
And I think that there was a big dislike of Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them felt that Trump would help them out mm-hmm. in various ways, including the economy mm-hmm. and national security.
You know, and I respect that. What I get upset about is when the evangelical leaders will not just say, this guy can help us, and we want to win in an election, rather than trying to twist themselves and turn themselves into some kind of a theological rationale for how they vote. And I'd be much more comfortable if they just not try to rationalize it in a religious way, but just say, this is what we want politically.
Well, I see your point, and I suppose it's difficult to do that after all these years.
Yes.
I've found, I must say, this election, more people being very frank about their desire for power within the administration,
yeah.
particularly in the Southern Baptist Convention, where there was all this fuss about Russell Moore.
Yes.
And I think one of the main objections to Moore was not that he was contravening any of their religious tenets at all, but rather that he was going to make it very difficult for them to have influence with Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As you wrote this book, what were you thinking that you would like readers of the book to take away once they went through it?
Well, as I think indeed that the two things we've really already discussed. I mean, one is the sort of huge variety
mm-hmm.
of evangelicals, and the other is the changes that have gone on quite rapidly, mm-hmm. Certainly in the 20th century, people shouldn't see evangelicals as a kind of solid block that's going to be there forever.
Right.
I think in that sense, the election statistics are misleading, particularly because the younger generation, which doesn't vote as much as their elders, which is, you know, that's true universally,
mm-hmm.
They haven't yet registered their own opinions in the polls.
Hmm. That's a great insight. Frances Fitzgerald is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author whose past books include Fire in the Lake, The Vietnamese and the Americans in Vietnam, and Way Out in the Blue, Reagan, Star Wars, and the End of the Cold War. Her latest book is titled The Evangelicals, The Struggle to Shape America. Frances, I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we are always welcome you on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much.